During the past 10 years, he's been involved with computers and projects ranging from artificial intelligence to the last 4 years with computer graphics, display systems, and image processing. As of 2 months and 1 day ago, the word computer video art was unknown to him. Now the word is. What computer video art means, though, is still unknown to him. But maybe this kind of panel discussion will help clarify that. What I'd like to do is begin with a short video excerpt that sort of suggests what this panel is all about. Formally, this session on computer-driven video art began this morning as Bill Etcher literally danced across the stage in the first presentation. But unofficially, it began last night with the fiery showing of John Whitney's film. I think it would be appropriate to end this session with similar explosive comments encouraging people to expose their wit, wisdom, and outrage at what the future directions of computer video art hold for us. The official title of this panel will be Directions of Computer-Driven Video Art Towards a Whimper or a Bang. That's to set the stage for our explosive comments in the panel discussion. Well, the members of the panel, which include any speakers who have participated in today's talks, please come up. While they're doing that, I'll sort of set the stage for the kind of things that would be useful to discuss. Among the things might be the issue of languages, of primitives to describe features of image generation and control. System costs, especially as they affect homegrown computing systems. Video networks, that is, pooled resources of members of the computer video community. Questions that would be important here would be system configuration, and things like, given a computer, suppose you had $15,000, what kind of resources would you purchase for it? What are some kind of suggested homegrown computer video experiments? What's the role of microprocessors in computer video? How can we incorporate new kinds of devices like video discs? What are the anticipated hardware and software designs and needs for image processing and video synthesis? What are related video game developments that would be appropriate for video art? What are the prospects of image enhancement, such as independent control over parts of the screen? Or for non-abstract images, varying light sources in real time? How about digital versus analog controls, real-time versus non-real-time composition? Performance and jamming in real time? What about the attitudes of computer video art from established artists in other fields? What's the general reaction of the public towards the kind of visual extravaganzas experienced today? How about the issue of displaying computer video art? What's the best way? Through these kinds of gatherings, through TV, commercials, public broadcasting, advertising, penny arcade games, theaters, performances? These are just some of the ideas that be interesting to cover in the talk. What we can do is begin on my left, whoever is there, and start making some comments about this. Each one can spend just a few minutes. Then we'll try to have some interaction amongst the panelists and the audience.
Thank you for going to all that trouble. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Larry for restricting the range of discussion to such a narrow, well-defined set of concepts. And obviously there is a lot to talk about. All I would like to do right now is to say a couple words about my general approach to pictures and imagery and computers and pictures, which is much like something that Stephen was saying during his talk, that is, computers are primarily tools, and they are media. They are the paintbrushes of modern-day artists. They are perhaps the violins, and if at best the violins, and probably in our current primitive state of things, not anywhere near that. And I see video art and computer-driven, generated, involved art as an interesting subset of the general problem of allowing human beings to communicate visually in a way which is more powerful than conventional media and conventional means of manipulating and generating visual communication. We need to look at our systems as levers or tools of whatever, or instruments of whatever flavor you happen to like to use as an analogy. And from that, a lot of very rich consequences will flow, including computer-generated and driven and computer-involved art. The artists always precede scientists into practically every field of human endeavor, and in a sense, science presupposes art and presupposes the creative and the human aspect to it all. So I'm very happy to have artists play with systems that I build, which may in fact not be intended to do artistic tasks per se, but I've learned more in dealing with artistic uses of them and in dealing with artists, particularly visually aware and visually oriented artists, than in any other such use or endeavor. And that's all I need to say about that at the moment anyway.
Well, after that, there isn't much left to say about art. But what I will say is one of the areas which we all pay or want to pay a lot of attention to is the development of systems, video systems that we can interact with. Real-time and useful. You can play games with or have them play games with you. But and I think it's really the object or the desire of everyone up here is to develop these systems which are compatible with you and not systems which you have to be compatible with. Systems that are easy to interact with are fun, and those that aren't are huge systems which go their own way. I'm currently working on a number of projects which reflect this, and I expect to see some systems in the future which people can afford and begin to play with on an artistic level, hopefully, and if not, at least on a games level. Thank you.
The opportunity for obscenity is always there. I don't know. I agree with everything said so far, so it doesn't look like we're going to have very much explosion. The only thing I would say is that I'm reminded continually of something a collaborator of mine, Lou Katz, told me when I first started to get into computers. He said, computers are hard machines in which you build soft machines, which are your programs, in order to do your specific functions. I got into computers because I wanted some compositional format for the visual image. I now realize that I will probably die without seeing anything even vaguely well structured in that direction, even if I live three times the biblical lifespan. We're at the beginning of something. we are at the very beginning. We don't have the structure music had. We don't have the thousands of years. Film's been around for 100 years, but that doesn't have a lot of the possibilities of video, which is vision over visuals over time with feedback. By the time we do have it all together, they'll have invented something else, and we'll have to take into account smell and feel and taste, or and some other senses we probably don't know about. So I see it as an ongoing road, and I enjoy it that way. It sometimes depresses me, but mostly makes me happy because it means I have something to do for the rest of my life and all the possible lifetimes I can imagine. And on that up note, I pass it to Stephen, who is more of the philosopher of the group.
Thank you, Bill. I think that I would prefer to respond to any direct questions. I think I said my piece a few moments ago. However,
since you've got it in your hand,
I would merely like to mention the fact that the work in technology, and certainly within the next few years, large-scale integration will make possible very low-cost, very small tools and systems to perform the functions that the people here have presented to you. But equally important, perhaps more so, is the development, study, and experimentation with the visual language structure, which will provide us with a key to utilization of the technology. I think imagery has a global potential in the sense that it is not barred by the linguistic problems of various cultures. And a powerful image is a powerful image for the most part. So that in addition to the work that we've seen in the last X years of development of technology, I feel one of the areas that needs the most work and that will in fact receive a lot of attention is visual language structures, syntax, grammatical, and other considerations in how imagery, visual imagery, kinetic visual imagery can be used by man to express his visions, his fears, his hopes, and generally communicate with one another.
Well, from the sublime to the ridiculous, I am the crass member of the group, the one who is involved specifically in utilizing this technology to make money, hopefully a good deal of it. And as such, for those of you who did not see the presentation earlier, I work for a company called Image West. We do TV commercials primarily, also broadcast promotion, and if we're lucky, we occasionally get to do a movie special effect. This is an area which is in fact growing. Unfortunately, the technology is overtaking our huge machines that we have and finding itself in video processing equipment like switchers, which the average small bozo station can buy for themselves. And so we are in a position where we find ourselves being overcome by the newer digital technological, I don't know what you'd call it, the market is such and the demand is such that companies are building essentially our capabilities into standard video processing equipment, which puts us in a very interesting position. And what is required now is for us to stay ahead in terms of the real software, which is the design element, the capabilities to take the hardware and to utilize it to make the video so beautiful that people will actually watch very poor content because they're so mesmerized by the images. My personal interest actually in this field is not in making television commercials. What I'm interested in is taking the technology and utilizing it in an informational way, and hopefully a positive informational way, in an instructional way, and in dealing in an area that really hasn't been explored here yet, which is in creating images which can convey information which may take into account at least three and possible four variables moving and changing simultaneously. Someone along this line in film did a film in which they took the movement of the Civil War throughout the United States as it consumed more and more territory, and Mark Twain's travels simultaneously on film, and they always found that he was at least 200 or 300 miles ahead of the war as he traveled, as he moved west. That's sort of a frivolous approach, but there is a lot of information, especially if you're doing any kind of systematic analysis of large political structures or political and economic structures simultaneously, which in terms of just numbers doesn't mean very much. But if you can create a visual image that shows the simultaneous change of all the elements involved so that you can begin to see visually the relationships involved, you have a very powerful tool for conveying information. And this is something, an area that hasn't been approached very much except in a very strictly scientific sense, where you see where there are people like John Whitney Jr. who have created topological maps which depict various kinds of changes of various scientific variables of all kinds. And by using the three-dimensional space plus color, he's been able to give a visual indication of a variety of variables. This hasn't been applied specifically to history, politics, economics, or a variety of other disciplines, which, if any of you have seen films in these areas, if you know, in college or whatever, tend to be very dry presentations with a guy in a white coat or a suit coat, and he's got a pointer and he writes things on a blackboard. Well, ImageWest has managed to take straight graphics or words and do things with them that attract the attention, attract the eye, but they haven't as yet, because they really don't have the capability presently, taken that a step further and dealt with numerical data or other types of data in a way that makes it clearer than someone speaking or someone drawing a two-dimensional drawing. And this is an area that I think computers can give you tremendous boost, because they can create the connections and process the data in ways that allow you to demonstrate these kinds of things. And it's an area that I'm very interested in and hope to be doing some work in fairly soon.
Well, I do have one comment to in reply to your poor content, which is I would be interested in it from good content also, to the effects achieved by computers. The only thing, I like pretty much what's been said here, but the only thing that hasn't been brought up is about the facility that would house all this stuff so that you could have an emphasis on software and content. Because so far we've mostly been mentioning hardware and how nice it would be if you... I could try. Is that better? Did you catch all that? No? Okay. Well, I think a facility is needed at this point, because we have the technology to a certain degree of usableness. And at this point, what's needed is to get it all together so that people can start using it, and that people can access it easily and get into content concerns and software concerns, i.e. programming. So that's the only thing I think that wasn't mentioned.
Should we respond to each other?
If any of you wants to respond to anyone else, then I'll be glad to let you do that. Otherwise, I'll start opening it.
Well, I want to respond to what you said, because I think that's, I noticed that hadn't been said as the mic passed around, and I think that's one of the reasons we're here. Whether the large copy company that Dick works for will ever put out the few $1,000 computer that does small talk or not, somebody out there is working furiously right now at doing it. In fact, a couple of dozen people out there are working furiously, and they don't have the software time. It takes anywhere up to 6 man years. Tektronix used up something like 9 man years doing the BASIC for their 4051 line drawing terminal. But it will get done. It'll get done quickly, because there are lots of people who have computers now and who are working on it. I figure within the next year, my whole studio at home that took one whole person's salary for the 8 years that Louise and I have been working in video, and we put one whole salary into buying and maintaining the studio and years of work into building parts of it will be available for less than $6,000, which is not much more than a new car costs. And a good part of it would be available for much less, maybe $2,000 or $3,000. So in a society that buys cars that cost $4,000 for little micro compacts, I notice now, that's not totally out of the range of two or three artists at least getting together. So I think the facilities are going to come, and the reason they're going to come is because of the home computers, not because of the video studios, because I think everyone here has had some experience that the professional video people don't want to do it, and it's up to everybody here to get out and ask for the graphics, get the graphics, tell people what's wrong with the graphic systems when they don't work for you, and get it started. You're the hope that the few of us who've been willing to put out our whole salaries and revolve our lives around doing this can get some of the other work done. There's enough work so that if everyone in this room worked on visual imagery for the rest of their lives, we would just take a small step forward.
In connection with that, there's the concern that comes about of making resources available to other people, mostly home computer types, that want systems that they can't afford themselves. There have been a couple of people who have been coming up wanting or pointing out tapes that they have that they like to show, and maybe we'll be getting to those later. But I'm sure there's a growing number of people that would like to build one part of a system and combine it with someone else's system, or have some center available where people could share the facilities there. Are there any kind of directions concerning this that any of you know about? Or I would think in the Bay Area there's an awful lot of activity.
This isn't a high-tech computer facility, first of all, but the Bay Area Video Coalition is in the process of forming. And what they're going to be supplying is a very good editing system for a 3/4-inch format for and it's designed just for people who cannot afford to either go to a studio and use their equipment or have their own equipment in their own home. So that's just one that I know about. And I suspect that there's... do you know about any digital or analog ones?
No. I don't.
Well, that's something that we need.
Okay, I'll give you another example of a concern. At the University of California at San Diego in the Visual Arts Department, I'm working with Harold Cohen in different aspects of computer art and in preparing grants. There's a question that arises, what kind of grants would one want to prepare? What kind of equipment or systems configurations would be useful? If, for example, we had an existing computer, we wanted to add some kind of peripherals or frame buffers or something of that sort, what would we do? Given just a basic homegrown computer system, let's say, or maybe a more sophisticated one. If you had 15K, what kind of systems would you add on to it?
They're not selling. Huh?
We're not selling. There's a lot of people that are.
Okay, as an example, the RUT, the ETRA synthesizer, how much does that cost?
They're not being made anymore. Steve Rutt, who... I was in association with in designing it and who owns the company, would probably make one if two people came to him simultaneously and asked him to. But basically, we lost our shirts over 5 years producing what's a very, I think even Image West will admit, is a fairly usable machine of one very highly specified nature. And, we never made any money on it. Steve lost a lot of money and I lost less money because I didn't own half the company. I only owned a percentage. You could build a RUT-ETRA synthesizer if you understood deflection and scan manipulation. You could build it with catalog parts for somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000. You could build one if you had a Dan Sandin image processor, and you can get the plans for that by writing Dan Sandin, Department of Art, University of Illinois Chicago Circle Campus. And if you take and with some minor modification that's already been done in Chicago, and if Computer Image, which still holds a valid patent on that system, doesn't decide to sue you, you could make a home system by buying a $4,000 Hewlett-Packard electrostatic display, and it wouldn't have the same resolution as my system, but I know it works because I know that it's been tried. So if you built an image processor, which is $2,500 worth of parts in a year of labor, and added on $4,000, so if you're somewhere less than $10,000, you could build a video colorizing system and a a rescan type system, and for another 5,000 you could add on a Sol or an Altair and dual floppies, and you'd have probably a more powerful system than exists in any commercial studio right now. You would have trouble getting Tom DeFonte's line drawing system, which requires a vector general, which is $60,000, and you can get you can get frame buffer type stuff with the similar language in it for much less. And that's your key.
Yes, and Tom DeFonte is thinking of working on a graphics interpreter for a Z80 system and a raster scan graphics, and he's seriously working on it at the moment, or thinking about it at the moment. He probably will work on it, start work in a few months. And question?
How hard is it to make a single video picture you might generate in non-real time on a medium-sized machine and get that on your video tape so that you can play it back in sequence?
Not at all if you put it onto Super 8 film or 16mm first. Otherwise, nearly impossible. On 3/4 inch and 1/2 inch videotape, though John Whitney tells me that there's a guy in LA who's working on a single frame 1/2 inch videotape recorder, the problems are not minimal. And doing single frame animation without either a video disc, not the type they talk about selling for home use, but a recording video disc, is extremely difficult.
That's a very interesting question, because I ran across a machine that was purchased by Walt Disney. One of them has been purchased by Walt Disney. It was designed to store slides on a floppy disk, and it sells for around 14, I think. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but they're advertised. If you want to find it, it's pretty easy to find. If you look at in the last couple issues of Broadcast Management.
Arvin,
thank you. That's the one, Arvin. Arvin Echo is the one I'm thinking of, and I was told by the salesperson I talked to in LA that it would record, what it was designed to do was immediately access a slide, so you could record 400 slides or something like this on a disk and immediately access it, which would eliminate the hassle of storing slides and putting them in a slide chain and so on for television. What I was told it will do is it will play back those single frames that it stored in real time, that is 30 frames a second for video. Now, I looked at the machine and I only saw a button for 15 frames a second. However, one has been modified for Disney for them to do pencil tests at 24 frames a second, which seems to me that with a little work, they ought to be able to knock it back in real time. Now, the problem is, of course, it is not an NTSC standard signal, which means if you were to use it to put onto anything other than a helical scan machine, if you were going to go for broadcast quality, you'd have to run through a time-based corrector, for which you have to add an additional $10,000. But this allows you, if you were able to get over these difficulties, that is to make it play back 30 frames a second, you would then be able to do single frame animation on videotape directly without having to do it on film and then transfer it to videotape. Plus, you could check your animation as you go, which is the main reason why Disney was interested, because this way he doesn't have to process his film first. He can see his pencil tests immediately upon shooting them frame by frame. And this offers a lot of interesting possibilities for those people who are interested in the conventional kind of animation, that is being able to draw on cells, but would like to be able to access this information immediately upon shooting it, and to perhaps make decisions about changes in the way they make their movements as they go. I don't know, someone else mentioned another machine of a similar type.
ADA Corporation and Campbell.
They use the disk drive is in the Ampex slow-mo machine, HS200. Eigen, I-G-E-N.
E-I-G-E-N.
Yes.
Colorado Video recently produces a product which is a digital full resolution picture frame store. So it's TV standard going in, TV standard going out at refresh rates, and it's accessible from a computer bidirectionally. You can write into this picture memory, you can read from it into your computer, you can interact with it in your computer, and then put it back in the memory and video tape recorder. So in this way, you can build up one. Colorado Video in Boulder.
What's your phone?
I make a strong plea before you.